Well, welcome aboard. It's good to have you here. Oh, I've got an exciting message for you today. Now, it may not be everything that you envisioned according to the Holy Bible or everything you want to hear, but it's important because it can be the greatest obstacle in our Christian walk. If you are a Christian, if you're not, well, you'll just have to bear the brunt of it. The title of my message today is called Pride. Pride. Ooh, wow. What's the middle letter in pride? What is it? I. Now, if we turn to Proverbs 6:16, we're going to get a short or brief message here of what God has to say about pride, especially pride. These six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These six things does God hate. Number one is what? A proud look, right? Now, if we turn on to Proverbs 13, just a couple of pages over, Proverbs 13, we read that, you know, only pride cometh what? By what? Okay. That's Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. See, if you're proud, you may suffer contention. Contentious issues really affect a proud look or a proud heart. Oh, pride, pride. It's good to want to be good. It's good to want to look good. It's good to want to feel good. But it's better to put yourself in the hands of a mighty God, a mighty true God. Two of the most important verses in the entire Bible, which God says in these few verses, what God says in these few verses cannot be overemphasized. No, they can't. Only by pride cometh contention or contentions. But, there's that little big word, but, thank God for the but. Buts supply you with an alternative and usually a way out. But with the well-advised is wisdom. With the well-advised is wisdom. Pride, did you know that pride is the devil's middle name? Oh, he didn't know he had a middle name. Oh, well, if he did, that would be it. Pride. Satan is the king of contention and pride and the prince of self-righteousness. Yes, he is. As you will recall, it was Satan's pride that got him cast out of heaven, along with all his angels, that ruffian bunch that follow him. Now, there are different kinds of pride. Now, there's a good pride, too. Don't get confused here. See, Lucifer's pride was that he tried to elevate himself above God. He tried to elevate himself above God. Now, in today's vernacular, that's like saying, hey, I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I can do more things than you can do. Ha, ha, ha. All because of pride. More so than any other reason. Pride, pride. Is there contention in your home or workplace? Is there? Now, I'm sure you'll find it if there is. If it doesn't find you first. Oh, yes. Pride is everywhere, and it's hereditary. If your parents are proud, well, chances are you will be proud also. If your children are proud, chances are so are you. If your dog is proud, chances are they got it for you. Okay, a little humor may be there, but nonetheless, I'm trying to make a point. pride, you see, pride has no borders, no limitations at all. Not only is it dominant in the home and at work, but it's on every street corner, in every business establishment, in every school, and regrettably, I'm sorry to say this, every church, there's a measure of pride involved. Now, take a close look at one sitting next to you in your church, huh? Full of pride? The preacher behind the pulpit. Has he got a proudful look? Oh, you guessed it. It's everywhere. It's like, they used to say, like Chisholm Man, he's everywhere. No, pride is, like I say, pride has its limitations. But pride, a proud look can bring it down. Oh, yes, it can bring it down. And where pride abideth, so also abideth contention. Contention. Oh, man, contention. What a nasty word that is. Now, what are the signs of pride? Well, pride is anyone who will not take advice. Anyone who will not take advice because he or she is self-righteous, egotistical, and arrogant. I don't like that word. Pride is an argumentative person. Nothing you say is for sure. Oh, you could be right all the way down the line, but when you're dealing with a proud person, I mean, someone filled with pride, they're going to argue, oh, I don't agree with that, or I don't think that's proper or should be said or done. You see, now there are many signs of pride, you know. I mean, I can just go on and on and on here, but I just want to mention a few here. You see, pride is anyone who will not take advice. Do you think that? Huh? Why do I say that? Because he is self-righteous. Someone who will not take advice is usually self-righteous or usually egotistical. That's a big word, isn't it? They usually have a measure of arrogance about them. You see, pride is also an argumentative person. Nothing you say is for sure. Pride cometh before a fall. Remember that. That's a very important line. Pride cometh before a fall. Pride is foolish. Pride is sin. Now you might say, well, not always. No, I agree with you. Not always. But usually it leads the way into sin. The corridors of sin, you might say. Pride and humility cannot coexist. They're opposites. They do not attract. Or is it that opposites do attract? Give that some thought. Pride and self-respect, well, they're on different tracks. You know, I visualize someone saying, now all I got left is my pride. It's my pride, that's all I got left. Well, oh foolish one, then all you have left is your sin. And that ain't going to take you too far, or any distance at all. Notice now in verse 17 of Proverbs 6, verse 17 of Proverbs 6, they say, my pride, well, oh foolish one, then all you have left is your sin, and that ain't going to take you far, right? Now, if you look over verse 17 of Proverbs 6, excuse me just a second here, the wind just blew my pages apart here. We're in verse 17, Proverbs 6. Hello, verse 17. Okay, now, pride, a proud look. Right at the head of the list, huh? But also note that the remaining five things that God hates, you know, like the shedding of innocent blood, the wicked imaginations, you know, feet that are swift and running to mischief and so forth, you know, the remaining five, these are things that God hates also. All emanate from the word pride. From pride. Now, over in now, I'm going to go over to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles. Here we are. Oh, Second Chronicles 7:14. You probably already know that one by heart. One of my favorite verses in the entire in the entire Bible. Listen carefully. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, obviously, that's Jesus talking, and he's talking about his Father in heaven, right? Notice how identical this prayer is to the prayer of the saved child of God. Huh? Don't you have to kind of cast that pride aside? Don't you have to seek his face? Don't you have to humble yourselves? Repent? Turn from your wicked ways? Because then you open the corridor of heaven. And the Lord God is there waiting to hear from you. Now don't try to fool him, because he looks upon the heart. He looks upon the heart. My friends, pride is a terrible thing if it's inappropriate the way you use it. Oh yes, it is. You know, humility should always precede every prayer you submit to the Father. Every prayer you submit to the Father. Humility. What a wonderful word that is. Now, why did God place humble themselves first? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's the first part. Humble themselves. Why did God place humble themselves first? Well, you think that's a mistake, maybe? Maybe a printer's error? How much humility is there in Baptist churches today? Do you know? Oh, I'd say quite a bit. Are people falling on their faces before God? Well, not even on their knees, right? But they're dancing in the aisles. Maybe the church you go to, they don't dance in the aisles, but a lot of these new evangelical churches you see around the country, around the globe even, they're dancing in the aisles. They're shaking their heads. They're falling all over each other. That's not the kind of humility God's talking about. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. No, that's not what he's talking about. And he says, pray and seek my face. Do you seek the face of God? Although you'll never see it, only through Jesus Christ. And turn from their wicked ways. Wow, that may be hard for some to do, but you know what? Jesus makes it easy. If you put your full stock in Jesus Christ, if you believe in what he's done, and you repent and give your life over to him, you know, it's not so hard to turn from your wicked ways as it was before. Oh no, because God will give you strength. But you got to keep short accounts with God, you know. You just don't go flying off on your own and say, oh, well, I got to be now. I'm never going to sin again, because you will sin. You will. Everybody sins. Even when they're saved, they sin. You know why? Because they're still in these sinful bodies. But when you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And the Holy Spirit guides you and gives you advice and lets you know what things you're not supposed to do and things you just don't bear well with God. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. My friends, humility should always precede every prayer you submit to your Father. Humility. Don't be afraid. Don't say, well, I'm degrading myself, I'm putting myself down. Well, listen, if you don't put yourself down from your lofty heights you're at right now, how are you going to elevate God? Huh? It's a lot harder, isn't it? Of course it is. It sure is. Now, why did God place humble themselves first? Well, could it be the reason there is so little prayer is because there is so little humility? A humble and contrite spirit is kind of difficult to locate without prayer. Only a little prayer may not be enough prayer. You know, give yourself to God first, because there's so little humility about you. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? That's what God asked Pharaoh. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? See here, Pharaoh wasn't a humble person. Pharaoh was a proud person. And he figured he was right in every situation that came up, everything he did, he figured he was right. And no God was going to tell him what to do. Don't ask God to humble you. Ask God to give you the wisdom to humble yourself. You see, without His wisdom, without His guidance, you humble is just a word you don't want to even hear about. But if you ask God for wisdom and help you to be humble and get rid of that old pride, well, I know from my own experience, He'll help you to do it. Before you know it, you'll be on really speaking terms with God. You see, asking for wisdom is a lot better than, getting a smack aside the head, I guess. Yeah, it certainly is. Now, I want to go briefly over to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, and read, verse 15. Here's what it says from the Word of God. For thus saith the High and Lofty One. Now, the One has a capital O, so we know who that is, right? It's God. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Wow. Read it for yourself. It's in Isaiah 57, verse 15 in your King James Bible. Okay? Now, a declaration of pride. Ooh, declaration of pride. Well, I've done the best I can, he says. I know God will let me in heaven. Oh, sure. I am glad he looks upon my non-prideful heart. Ooh. Did you say that? Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'm glad he looks upon my non-prideful heart. You see, as long as you're in this old flesh, well, you're going to have pride. It's going to come at you from all sides. It's going to get into you in every way and every day, and you're just going to have to keep fighting it and fighting it. Turn your back on pride, lofty pride. All right? Oh, God can help you. God will help you. If your town loves its, here we go. If your town loves its gay pride parade, well, then that's a triple threat. That's a triple threat. Oh, notice the word threat, huh? I said threat. T-H-R-E-A-T. Threat. All we need to do is drop the H. And what we have left is not threat. What is it? It's treat. Treat. T-R-E-A-T. Take the H out of threat and you got a treat. And your treat is in glory. Oh, meeting your Savior face to face. Wow. Not only is pride an abomination to God, but pride is the sin God hates most. a proud look. And if you support Gay Pride Parade Day, then you are inviting the curse of Almighty God upon your town and your life. Your home, your family. Now, how stupid is that? All because of pride. All because of pride. And then, after the parade, well, people go home and they ask God to bless their lives, you know, and their community. Now, how stupid is that? Well, it means they don't know a lot about what God demands of us. Sure don't. Actually, you can't get more stupid than that. That's my opinion anyway, and I'm sticking to it. Now, what's the danger of pride, real danger of pride? Well, the Word of God tells us that pride goeth before, what? Destruction, right? A lot of people, a lot of great warriors throughout time have fallen because of their pride. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Oh, well, you know, that's your decision to make. Pride goeth before destruction. We know that Satan is king and ruler over all pride. Yes, he is. And when you allow pride to have its portion in your life, well, you're bowing to Satan. You're bowing to Satan. Yes, you are. Ooh. James 4, verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Now, when you, proud person, get on your knees before God, do you want God to hear your prayers and forgive your sins? Well, then the first thing you better repent of is your foolish pride. You might say, I got no pride. Well, you're wrong. That's pride right there, speaking loudly. So the first thing you got to do is you got to ask God. Tell God you'd like them to forgive you for your foolish pride. Or you can kneel until rigor mortis sets in and probably your prayers will not go or reap the rewards they deserve. God ain't going to listen to the mouth that's filled with pride and contention. No. No, God ain't going to listen to that. And be extra careful when you come to the throne of grace. Yes. And let not your boldness be tainted with pride. Let not your boldness be tainted with pride. You know, it took God 40 years to extinguish the fire of pride in his people Israel. 40 years. Over in the book of Philippians, pardon me. Well, Philip for short, if you like. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Listen carefully. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But we're talking about Jesus now, not you and your pride. Okay? Okay, the next verse. But made himself of no reputation. That's Jesus now. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Wow. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's the opposite of pride, right? He humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Even the death of the cross. Wow. That's my Savior. Is that your Savior? Psalm 10, verse 4, we read, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Huh. God is not in all his thoughts. That's what pride is doing. It's keeping you from conversing, from contacting with God. God cannot look on a proud look. He cannot. In Proverbs 29:23, listen carefully. A man's pride shall bring him low, but This is a good but. I like this one. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. In 1 Timothy 3, 5 and 6. I love these verses. I hope you do too. 1 Timothy 3, 5 and 6. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with what? Pride. Pride. He fall into condemnation of the devil. As we get near the end here, 1 John 2, verse 16. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Of the world. Tell me, is pride an obstacle in your life? If you don't think it is, then it probably is. That's the way it goes. I just don't believe I'm that kind of person. I don't think that I put on too much of an air. I don't think, you know, that God is looking upon me with disfavor. I don't think that at all. Well, you're wrong in what you think then. There's no place for you in glory if you're going to try and take along your suitcase filled with pride. God won't let you in. Tell me, are you the eye in pride? Are you the eye in pride? Are you? I'd like to know what you have to say about that. Well, let me tell you this here. If you give your life to Christ, if you repent and believe in what Jesus has done for you at Calvary, then don't worry, not one iota. God loves you. God will see you through the most terrible of times. So will you do that? I want to thank you for listening, and I ask that you'll tune in again for another in the series. God love you. Amen. Amen.